right. Amen.
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 Amen,
okay. If we can take our seats. So this morning, just want to, I'm so blessed to do this morning. You're slightly taller than me and I don't like that. This young man, Graham Peterson, will be our intern for 2023. Here at Shofar Brackenfell, finally we've got a slave. Hallelujah. No, I'm just joking. Well, we'll have to cancel that song, Chris. I mean, no. We really blessed. Last year, we believe God wants us to have interns in the church, and we're going to trust God for growth in his life. But he comes with a set of giftings, and I want you to receive him. And he's going to work hard. He's going to minister and do stuff. And we're going to have a lot of fun. He's somewhere going on MTP early in Feb. So lots planned for him. Lots of growth. By the way, he's a chef. So he's going to be at my home a lot. Oh, and he's single. You know, I receive Lebola on his behalf. So we can sort of... But can we just stretch out hands on him, out to him, and let's just bless him this morning. Father, we just thank you for Graham as he consecrates his life, as he sets apart his life this year to serve you, to serve this congregation and the people in this house, Father. And Lord, we just want to pray your supernatural abundant blessing upon him. Father, may he hear your voice. May his walk with you deepen. May I understand your will, Father God, and may you lead him continually. So, Lord, we just receive him as a gift. We thank you for his life, and we bless you for him in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Graham. Right, so excited to be back. We've just returned, actually, on Friday from Ebb and Flow. If you know where Ebb and Flow is, in Wilderness. We were at a site next to the lagoon. We suffered terribly. It was incredible. But I think what was so precious to me was in the mornings taking my chair and a cup of coffee, and then Loretta and I would sit and have an intimate time with God, just looking out on that mountain, seeing the beauty. And it's incredible to me how every morning it was different. It's just so special, and I love being in nature and then being able to spend time with God. And I trust that you had a very blessed festive season, and that you've you're greatly expectant for this year. And I trust that God will meet your expectation and your faith where you're at. So this morning, I want to read to us from Psalm 42. I want to read the whole psalm, because it's just so beautiful, and says, to the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. And you probably know this psalm, and you've read it a couple of times. It says, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation, my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and of Hebron and of Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love. At night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Some of us feel like that maybe about last year. Why have you forgotten me, Lord? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Such a powerful psalm, and the sons of Korah writing this, and there's so much in the psalm that we can just meditate on. But I think, put simply, if I look at what they are writing here, there's one thing that I take from is that they simply desire God. You know, obviously they face some stuff, and you know, there's adversity and so on, but their heart's desire is to be with God. Their souls pant for God, to be with him. They long to stand or appear before him. They want to lead the crowd into the presence of the Lord. And you see such a beautiful picture here of them pursuing God himself, wanting to do everything to get there. And I can't help but wonder, as I was thinking about this, you know, is that a reflection of your and my heart for this year too? For today, for tomorrow, for every day? What is our desire for God? Is our desire for God, or have we become distracted with other things? What do you want most of this year, of this month, of this day? I guess that's an important question to consider. What do we want most? If you can pin it on one thing, will it be, as the sons of Korah are writing, that, Lord, I pant for you as the deer pants for the waters? I want nothing else. It's definitely clear from the psalm, as I've said, that, you know, they've faced many difficulties. You know, they have tears. The tears is their food day and night. That must be hectic. That's a lot of crying. That means there was a lot happening right there. People were mocking them. And they say twice, where is your God? And maybe you've even wondered, you know, in time past, where is God? I've been praying, I've been singing. Maybe people around you have been saying, where is your God? Maybe, I think the world is wondering, where is God? If I look at what they are pursuing. But God is real. They also say that my soul is cast down within me. They had some problems, some adversities, some things happening in their lives that made them come to this point of even asking that question, but Lord, where are you? Well, that was definitely the voice of the people around him. But in the midst of this, they encourage themselves, they encourage us. They say, hope in God. For me, this is probably the crux of this message this morning, is that we need to hope in God. We need to hope in God. You know, there's some things that I figured out in my life that I cannot fix. Some things I can, but some I have to simply hope in God. For I shall praise him again. Deep calls out to deep. There's again that deep desire to be with God. So in the midst of a lot happening, there is this intense desire to be with God. This year, next month, tomorrow will only be different than the last when we change. You see, it doesn't help we carrying on like we carried on last year. In my walk before God, my devotion before God, in my pursuit of him, if it's going to be the same level as it was last year, nothing will change, or very little might change this year. Fortunately, I'm so grateful that every year is not the same. We are on a journey. But we need to change. Maybe just tap someone there next to you and say, listen, you need to change. You need to change something. Now, don't tell them what that is. I know many of you can I talk to you? I tell you what you need to change. All right. See, maybe we must just change our focus for every day. And when we do that, I believe we will receive every good and perfect gift from our Father's hand. Because this is the reality. He wants to pour out the good over us. He wants to give us those things that will bless us. See, it doesn't matter what a particular day brings when we focus on Jesus. See, Scripture makes it clear that we will face trials. This side of heaven, there's going to be that stuff. But man, even in a trial, you can have a focus on Jesus. So it doesn't matter what comes in that day. Maybe you go with a good, motive or, just good spirits to work, and then your boss is there. And he came to work and he messes up everything. Then I guess you need to pray, Lord, how do I minister to this person today? this morning, I on one side believe that what I'm going to share is a dangerous sermon. It's a dangerous message, but as I've been reflecting on this in 2023, as a pastor, you kind of, I don't want to say feel the pressure, but, you want to have a prophetic word for the year. You want to step in and just know what God is saying to you. And I found myself in a space earlier that, I was kind of reluctant to actually do that. Why? Because we've had some hectic years. We've proclaimed and we've trusted God and we've had words and so on, and then the year turns out completely different than even my faith expected. None of you had that. Okay, no, that's cool. We all had struggles, disappointments. Some of us sit here with questions. Why did this happen? Or why did that happen? Or what about this, Lord? What about that prophecy? That word that you have spoken? We have questions. So I was reluctant. Even for my personal life, for the church. So Lord, what can I expect? What prophetic word do you want to give me that I will see happen? I think the problem with prophetic words sometimes is I get an idea of what it should look like when it happens, and then I miss it when it actually happens. Because God is not limited to my way of thinking, but I was reluctant. And then I became quiet before the Lord. Then I became still before Him. And everything changes. See, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God, for more of Him, for His glory, His power in my life and in yours. That changes everything. I thirst for the place where, as Luke 1:37 says, for nothing will be impossible with God. That one verse changes everything for me. For nothing will be impossible with God. For nothing will be impossible with God. It changes my complete expectation. See, I have plans and ideas for now and later. So nothing will be impossible with God. This year, I'm trusting to surrender all those things that hinder me from following Him. And it's only because nothing will be impossible with Him. I do not want to miss anything that God has set out for me to do this year. I don't want anything to interfere with His purpose for my life. And the only reason why I'll be able to do it is because nothing will be impossible for Him. My response to this year is simple. Luke 1:38, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I shared this on Christmas Day. And this is truly where I'm at. You see, because I understand or I realize that I am the servant of the Lord. And I want it to be according to His word, not my plans. Like I said, I've got lots of plans. Lots of things we are thinking about. We're on holiday and we're still thinking about what's happening this year and what we're trusting God for and, you know, what needs to happen in this congregation and so on. But I yield before God, and just like Mary here says to the angel, but I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. In that scripture, Mary receives this promise of bearing a child, which was completely impossible because she did not know a man. And she responded in faith from that place saying, let it be to me according to what you are saying. And I sit here and stand here before you and I realize I have prophetic words. I have scriptures and stuff that God has given me that I cannot bring to pass. And my response is, Lord, let it be to me according to what you are saying. Let your will be done in my life. This is my quest. This is and will be my single purpose. Because nothing will be impossible with God. See, I don't know about you, but I have hope for 2023. Why? Because nothing will be impossible for God. Hopefully by the end of the sermon, that will sink in. I will remove every distraction from my life. Why? Because nothing will be impossible with God. Every prophetic word in my life will happen. You know why? Because nothing will be impossible with God. Will I succeed? That's not my concern. That's His. Because He is my focus, my rock, my anchor, my Savior. Because nothing will be impossible with God. Jesus is my single focus because nothing is impossible with God. Jesus is my God and I am the servant of the Lord, and therefore nothing will be impossible with God. See, this year, yes, we, like I said, we have lots of dreams and plans and so on, but the theme that we have for this year comes from Convergence last year and will be called and sent. Now, when you hear that we are called and sent, I guess we can come up with a lot of reasons why we shouldn't do stuff or cannot do stuff or shouldn't go or cannot go or whatever. But this year, I want to look differently at this mission, in that nothing will be impossible with God. If I'm going on a mission, then everything will be possible because the finances will be there and the provision will be there, and I can go and be the servant of the Lord where He's sending me, because nothing is impossible to Him. And you see, I'm not going to sit still, and I don't want to sit still, and I don't want to get sluggish, and I don't want to do things half-baked, because I believe God wants to do incredible things this year. See, this thing about called and sent, I need us to understand that firstly, we are called to stand before God before I can be sent. I am firstly called to worship Him, to adore Him, to sing His praises, to make known His majesty, to know Him intimately before I am sent. See, if I run ahead of that, then I'm going to get busy with other stuff. When this scent comes from a place of intimacy, understanding my call, understanding who He says I am, then I can go and be sent by His grace and anointing. Function follows purpose. See, when I understand what my purpose is, my function is more clear. And if when I understand that my purpose, the purpose for which God has created us, is to worship Him, to be intimate with Him, to know Him, to walk with Him. When that is my focus, then my function becomes clear. Then I do stuff not because anybody is saying so, but because I'm standing in awe of Him, because I'm in love with Him, because I know what He's calling me to, because He stirs my heart to do stuff. And I said to Lorette, I don't do what I do because I'm paid. I do what I do because years ago I encountered the living God. And everything in that moment changed. And I heard His love, and I still hear that. And I walk with Him, and I'm intimate with Him. Man, and He stirs my heart for stuff. And sometimes I get frustrated because I want to just get there and get stuff doing, and it needs to happen yesterday. Again, I know none of you are like that, but man, come on. And then I have to have patience for Him to lead me into His paths of righteousness. Our function is to reconcile people to Jesus. The Great Commission. See, we can be on this earth for many other things, but I still believe that Matthew 28 still says what we need to do. We still need to bear the fruit of our salvation. We still need to walk by the Spirit of God. See, that's our function. That's what we can do. But it's from that place of intimacy. Isaiah 40:29 says this. He gives power to the faint. Maybe you are faint this morning. He wants to give you power. And to him who has no might, He increases strength. Come on. This should encourage us. Maybe, you know, it's the 15th day of January and you're already dragging your feet. You know, I had 1 week of work. Man, can't make it. When is my next holiday? Maybe I should book it. End of Jan, 2 weeks. Yeah, the word of the Lord this morning to you is, He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Receive that from the Lord this morning. Even the youth shall faint. Man, I love this scripture, especially in my age right now. The youths are going to get tired, and then I'm still going to be jogging. Okay, maybe not jogging. We should talk about something else but jogging. I mean, geez, that's hard work. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. We quote the scripture so often, yet I think sometimes we fail in the first and the most important thing, which is the wait. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I guess I have to ask myself the question, if I am tired, then I guess there wasn't enough of waiting. Then maybe I ran ahead of God or in my own strength trying to accomplish things. I did not wait. Makes me want to pause when the world wants to apply pressure to get things done and say, but I'll wait on the Lord. Psalm 37 verse 9 says this, for the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. See, God's going to deal with the evildoers. That's not our concern. Those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the land. You will prosper when you wait on the Lord. Isaiah 30 verse 18 says this, therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Man, see the picture. God is there like, He waits. He's in anticipation. He wants to be gracious to you. He's for you. He wants to do incredible things in your life. He's waiting for every moment. He's just looking where He can move in your life. And therefore, He exalts Himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for Him. I get that picture of, you know, when the athletes crouch down for the start of the race. And the eager beaver, you know, before the gun goes, he just like takes off. Swing! And they're like, "Nee, buti, you have to wait." And then they call him back and he goes there, you know, but he's so eager, he just wants to get on with it. So they go, "Merke gereed," and then he's off already. And they're like, "No, no, 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 no." Sometimes I think in the spirit we are like that. Is we like, "Merke gereed." But those who wait on the Lord will see His grace move in their lives. In Isaiah 49, verse 23, this is quite an interesting scripture. It says, "Kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. With their faces to the ground, they shall bow down to you and lick the dust off your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame." Those who wait on the Lord will not be put to shame. Makes me think. You see, maybe you're worried about, you know, what's happening in your life. And if I look at the scripture, God is dealing with the kings and the queens and the people and actually turning everything around because the favor of the Lord is upon His people. And that they will not be ashamed. They will not be put to shame. Isaiah 64 verse 4 says, "From old no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for Him." A God who acts for those who wait for Him. Do you believe that God actually wants to act on your behalf? That is for you, that He wants to move, that He wants to change things, intervene. Just wait for Him. Lamentations 3 verse 25 says this, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him." See, with God, all things are possible. It's when I wait for Him that everything changes. Is when I resist the urge to just go for it and to wait. So I don't know. You know, maybe you don't have a prophetic word for the year. And maybe you're hoping someone will just bring you that word. I want to say to you, wait on the Lord. If I can put it bluntly, get your own prophetic word and stop waiting for other people to bring it. Because the King of the universe, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, desires to speak to you personally. Just wait on Him. Seek Him. Pant for Him. Search for Him. Do everything in your power to draw close to Him. Everything we worship this morning is what this year, I believe, needs to be about. This year can be a lot about a lot of things. But my desire for 2023, can I say that? Is simply to be with Him. I don't want to miss anything else. And I know from that place of intimacy, everything will fall in place. And the good news will be that I'm not in control. Now, yes, Quibus, you make it sound so simple. I get that. And in our problem-solving nature, we want to just, you know, go for it. But I believe there's a call back to God's holiness, to His presence, to waiting upon Him, to be sensitive to His leading, to really walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. May 2023 be a year of more of God in our lives. If nothing else, may it be a year of more of God in your life. That is my prayer for you. May it be a fruitful year, a consecrated year, a year governed by His will and His agenda, not mine, where I surrender my plans. May you see the hand of God in all your life, all of it, every part of it. May everything else fade and you stand in awe of Him. May you prosper as your soul prospers, and may God be glorified. See, nothing is going to change this year if my hope lies in anything else but God. And I want to really say to you that with God, everything's going to be possible. I guess the question is, am I going to dare to believe it? Am I going to dare to trust the God who made the universe, who formed me, who formed you, you know, who named each star, who knows everything, to whom nothing is impossible? Am I willing to risk it and lay my will aside and say, Father, but regardless, I'm going to trust you this year for your will. You see, whatever happens in this small community, in this city, this gathering of the saints, I want to say to you, anything is possible. We can do anything. There's no adversary too strong for us because God is for us. There's nothing that can stand against us if He is for us. But you see, I believe we cannot just serve Him haphazardly or with half measure. It's all or nothing. When I gave my life to Him, it's His to do what He pleases. May our hope in God be reflected in our service towards Him this year. You see, can I just make this clear? In this church, please don't serve me or the elders. Please don't do stuff here because maybe you feel obliged. May your involvement here be worship unto God. May it be a sweet-smelling aroma before Him as we, as the saints, gather together. And I believe as we, as a collective, as individuals, see God in this way, our lives together will become a sweet offering. You know the prophecies that we have for this church? Come on. We must maybe play at some point again. There's some stuff coming. And it's possible because our God is with us and for us. So please, if nothing else, don't limit God this year. Don't limit God because of your small thinking or even your failure to expect Him to move. Let's change our hearts and our minds and expect incredible stuff before the Lord. Let's stand.